Will I be right to say, will I be right to say Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas. Yeah. So we are happy this morning to be in the presence of God. And then this morning I've titled the message Paradigm Shift, you know. Now, paradigm is simply talking about, you know, a group of ideas that shows how something should be done. And with this one, it exposes us into two different time frames or time points. That is the pre-advent of Christ and then the post-advent of Christ. And then how people perceive our God and how we worship Him. So in the introduction, I'll just focus on the pre-advent of Christ. And in those periods, we realized that people had different perception. And there were two prominent issues which were so much involved in their way of worship. And one was, who is more religious? And the other is a place of worship. They were very much important. People placed much important on these issues. So in a nutshell, people went along to create a whole lot of fences around how we should worship God and places where we should worship God. But our Lord Jesus Christ came into the scene and addressed that issue. So this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Could you please pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning. We bless you for the great things you've done in our lives. Who are we to be called children of God? We're so far. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been brought near. And now we are citizens in the kingdom of God. This morning, we commit ourselves into your hands. You know what you want us to know. That is why you've brought us together. Spirit of God, may you speak through our heart. May you speak to our heart, our inner man, and transform us to be what you want us to be so that your name will be glorified. We thank you as you take your rightful place. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, beginning with the two important issues that influence people's life, how they worship God, I'll begin with the first one. That is the place of worship. People were so much into determining which places should be worshipped. And we realized that when Jesus Christ came onto the scene, he addressed these two issues beautifully in the book of John chapter 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman. That was what the issue she brought out. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. But our fathers told us that our fathers worship on this mountain, and that is what we do. But for you Jews, you say Jerusalem is the place that we should go and worship. And Jesus quickly refuted that perception, corrected her. He said, woman, I tell you, a time is coming that the Father is looking for true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. But I tell you, that time when it comes, neither are you going to worship on this mountain. No, you have to travel to Jerusalem to worship. Because anywhere you are, you can call upon the true God and he will hear you. Amen. And then the other issue had to do with who was more religious. And that one is also addressed in the story of the Good Samaritan. When Jesus confronted all those priests and the Levites and so on and so forth with regards to we want to go to church, we want to go and perform our duties, we are religious people. Jesus is talking about the love from the Father for which has been given to us. The same thing applies in our days, post-advent of Christ. We also have a lot of issues, especially when we hear the word Christmas. A lot of people have reduced Christmas to commercial activities, and it's losing its importance. And not only that, the learned are trying to, you know, dispute facts of this importance and then putting preference on dates, that Christ was not born on this date, on the 25th. So I think it shouldn't be December. It's a whole lot. But the most important thing that we have to look at is, are we celebrating dates, or are we celebrating something that is so important, or important that what we think to argue about? So I would like to ask you three questions. In our human settings, do we mourn over the birth of a child? Ghana, we don't do that. We rejoice when someone gives birth. Secondly, is it wrong in our moral settings to remember the birth of a great leader? No. Ghana, we have our founder, Kwame Nkrumah. We celebrate him. And likewise, I know most of you in your countries, you have founding fathers whom you celebrate. So it's not wrong. And then lastly, in our cultural settings, is it wrong to place value on events which have positively shaped our societies? If not, then we're bringing our minds back. This morning, I want us to, because XICF is a non-denominational congregation, and as a result of that, we have different backgrounds. We are sometimes tempted to carry along the, you know, religious or denominational influence with us wherever we go. But this morning, I want us to drop all these influences and just focus on one thing that means so much to God, and not only God, means so much to the angels, and not to the angels alone, and so much to you and I. You see, God knew the heart of the Israelites. That is why he told them, you should write the commandments of the Lord on your doorpost so that they will not forget. God gave the Sabbath and gave other festivities. Why? Especially the Passover, for the people of Israel to remember what happened. So this morning, I'm not trying to convince you to accept the fact that we need to celebrate Christmas, but I just want to enlighten ourselves so that we come to understand that Christmas means so much to God, and it should mean so much to you. In Ghana, we have a wise saying, without 9, you can't go to 10. If you skip 9, you numerals. If you skip 9, probably you like to run around, but still, you can't go to 10. You have to stay there. You get stuck. We're talking about the blood of Jesus, which has done everything for us and brought us close to God. How did it come? Had it not been a birth, would we have gotten this death? It implies, it means so much to God. So we look at the first Christmas message that we heard from God in the Bible. This is found in Genesis chapter 3:15. And this was about the fall of man. When God was pronouncing what was supposed to be between man and the devil. And God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Who is the he is talking about? And who is the she is talking about? Is he not talking about the woman who is going to give birth? So God had the plan of Christmas salvation, even in the time of the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says he planned it before even the foundation of this world. He had us at heart. He knew how we've soiled that relationship and how we're going to suffer for that. But he alone can draw us back. And through time, people were thinking, how is it going to be? Who is going to be this woman? How is she going to be? And how is it going to come about? So in the conversation, God dropped a hint of how it's going to be. in Isaiah chapter 7, 14. It reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It implies our salvation, our coming back to God, means so much to God. And he did everything possible to bring us back. So I would like to bring to the notice of each and everyone here. People might celebrate Christmas with alcohol, getting new friendships, getting into different relationships, eating food, putting, because back in Ghana, when we're kids, when it's getting to Christmas, everybody is happy. Why? We're going to get new clothes. We get new shoes. This is for sure. And I remember my dad, he had a tailor friend. Getting about, is it 20th? 20th December. We were about, we have four boys. He would send all of us to the tailor. He would buy material. And they would sew the same color, the same type. The same. And we felt proud when, you see, even on the 24th night when we get our clothes. Sometimes you don't sleep. I don't sleep. Because it's new. And the smell, you feel it. It was good. For kids, we really enjoyed. It was a good time. And then to add to the joy, the enjoyment, we're going to enjoy chicken. Somebody will say, chicken. Yes, during our time, chicken was something precious. If you get it, I think we celebrated it once a year. We ate chicken once a year. Probably you are fortunate when you branch to any corner, you can get chicken and enjoy. You know? In our time, we were not enjoying chicken like that. We enjoy chicken once a year. And having prepared the fufu soup with the sometimes granola soup, it was good. It was a good time. We had a good time. So for kids, we really enjoy. For businessmen, it's getting to the end of the year. They are taking stocks, and people are preparing that balance sheet and so on and so forth, seeking how much they made and how much they lost and what they can do with what they've gained and re-strategize for the next year, for the following year. For the clergymen back in Ghana, this is a harvest time, especially on 31st December night. Because in Ghana, most of the people, they are called themselves Christians, but you see them in church once a year. That is 31st night. And the pastors, the reverend ministers, the clergymen have targeted those times because everybody will come to church to come and make resolutions and so on and so forth. So we have different bowls for offertory. This is another offer. This is offer. So people, they reap from the masses. So back in Ghana, it's a kind of harvest time for the clergymen. Thank God it's not like that here. So Christmas means different to different people. But to us as Christians, how do we see Christmas? It is the genesis of our restoration back to the Father who loves us, who lost us through our own disobedience, through our own treason. And he got to know that we can't come back to him, never. Then he squeezed himself into a world he himself has created. The heavens can't contain him, but the Bible says he came to be a man like you and I. He became like his brethren. And because of that, he's not ashamed of us. He did it for you and I. And it all began on Christmas. So I would like you to forget, put aside everything, every influence you have. Yes, it might not be the date. Don't worry. Yes, it's supposed to be celebrated somewhere, not here. Don't worry. The most important thing is we don't want to lose the value of Christmas. Because it should mean so much to every Christian. If really you call yourself a child of God, it should mean so much to you. Because during those times that God has this impasse with man, man tried to reach out to God. That is where religion came into being. Trying to please God with our different ways, seeking how we can worship God, how we can get close to God. But on the advent of Jesus Christ, this was the message the angels brought. You see, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Even the angels did not rest when Christ was born. So this morning, I would like us to look at four different, beings and people whose life were influenced by the birth of Christ. We have the angels, we have the shepherds, we have the political elite, and then we have the destitute. All these people encountered different experiences when it comes to the birth of Christ. Now we begin with the angels. We read from Luke chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, having given out the message for which they were sent to men, come and give to the shepherds, that a child is born, the Savior of the world is born, and they will find him in Bethlehem. The Bible says when they finished, after the angel had finished giving the message, a host of angels descended. And what did they say? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Why? Because he said it and he has made it happen. Angels have been trying to look into what God is doing. Because since creation, and then when man lost his position, God has tried so many different ways to bring us back. And you realize that he went himself to a man just like you and I and swore to him that I want to do something through you, but this thing doesn't have anything to do with you. I just want to do it. So I want to swear an oath. And this oath, when oath is sworn, it's always done between the lesser and then the higher. And it's always the lesser who is supposed to bow to the higher. In that case, when God appeared to Abraham. Abraham was the lesser. But God did not allow him to perform all the rituals. The Bible says he fell into a trance. All that he could see was in between the animals, the splitted animals, there was a torch going through them. God telling Abraham, I'm about to do something that has nothing to do with you. I am doing because I want to bring back people to myself. I want to bring man back to myself. So the Bible says the angels rejoice when they brought out the news. And to the shepherds, it was a mixed feeling. It began with fear because they never thought such a thing could happen to them. They could see the heavenly beings appearing to them and then giving them the hint or the first message regarding Christmas. So the Bible says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angels were so much afraid because it was not easy to see an angel in the open. But having received the news and followed it up, what happened? The Bible says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They saw it vividly. It was true. Yes, the Savior of the world is born. The angels returned, rejoicing, happy, praising God. Why? What God promised before the creation of this world, he's made it come to him in our time. And for instance, if a very prominent person, like, let me use Ghana, if, for instance, our president, Nana Akufo-Addo, wants to visit China, and he sends a delegate to come to Xiamen to look for Stephen, to tell Stephen, Nana Akufo-Addo wants to come to China for a visit, so he wants you to be the first person to know. What do you think, how would you think I would feel? Will I feel sad? No, he's my president. He has all the connections. He has all the links. So I will be very happy. So it's right for from the shepherds to be happy, rejoicing, and talking about it, proclaiming. They left their sheep, they left their flock, and started proclaiming because of what they received. Because it meant, this message meant so much to God. Now we look at the political elite. While some people were rejoicing, where some people were so happy, others felt threatened. Why? Because the wise men said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So with Christmas, with the advent of Christ, it wouldn't augur well for, not everybody rejoices. Not everyone. Why? Because Herod thought his throne was at risk. He's about to be dethroned. Probably through some ways and means, he was able to become a king. But now, somebody is born who is a king. He's born a king, which implies the throne is for him. And nobody competes with him. So in our case, in our modern day, it will be considered as a treason. For instance, if you enter into maybe the Flagstar House of Ghana, and then you meet the president, you ask the president, I want to see the president. He said, I'm the president. So, no, I'm looking for the real president. Do you think you can go back with your head on? No, it's not possible. So, he felt threatened. And not only him, the religious body, they also felt threatened because they've put the people in a cage for a long time. And now there's a liberator, which implies they are going to lose their source of revenue. They are going to lose their source of popularity. They are going to lose a whole lot of things. So they were also threatened. The same thing applies to us today. How do you receive the birth of Christ? Do you rejoice just like the angels rejoice? Do you rejoice just like the shepherds rejoice? Do you rejoice just like the creator of this whole earth rejoice? Or do you feel threatened? Why? Because Christ is going to tell you there are certain things in your life you have to put stop to them. This one is not good. That one is not good. But we forget for the fact that being not good means he wants the best for us. He's giving us the best. But as human as we are, we tend to think otherwise. For instance, if you go to the hospital and probably you are smoking and the doctor tells you, smoking is not good for you. It destroys your lungs and so on and so forth. It goes on and on and on and on. And then you look in the face of the doctor and tells him, yeah, it's true, I know, but I can't stop. Do you think you are doing good to yourself or you are doing good to the doctor? or you are destroying your own self. The same thing applies. Sin is our enemy. Why? It was sin that took our Lord to the cross. It was sin that separated us from the Heavenly Father, that made us leave our home. So for every Christian, sin is an enemy to you. So with the advent of Christ, it gives us joy. Why? Because the Savior who was meant to deliver us has arrived. And I'm not saying Christ is arriving on 25th December. No. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of us to get to know that something has already happened that has drawn us close to God. Then we look at the destitute, the poor, those without anything, just like you and I. We were called Gentiles because we had nothing to offer. When it comes to the place of worship, we were found at the back. At the back, we could not come, you know, to the inner court. How can you? It's not possible to come to the inner court. Now today, we can just enter into this place and sit down gorgeously, feeling comfortable. But something happened. That is why we can all come here. And what does the Bible say about us? Because of Christmas, what has happened? He said, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So as we sit here, we are righteousness of God. You are a righteous person. Do you believe that? It's very soft. Do you believe that you are a righteous person? Oh, your mind is not here. Probably, I think so, maybe. You see? Yes, you are. If you are born again Christian, you are the righteousness of God. Not because of your good things. Not because you are so handsome. Not because you are so beautiful. Not because you have so much in your wallet. No. But because of what we are talking about, sorry. Because of what we are talking about, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for you and I. You are the righteousness of God. So says the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then also in Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We used to be strangers in the household of God. But because of Christ, we are no more strangers. You are not a stranger. When you talk about the household of God, the family of God, you are not a stranger. If you still see yourself as a stranger, then you have to go back and check your books. Check within. Because as a born-again Christian, you are no more a stranger in the house of God. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that Jesus Christ means so much to us. And there shouldn't be anything, absolutely nothing should be a stumbling block for us not to rejoice about the birth of Christ. Somebody might think of 25th of being a happy moment of doing other things, but we take part simply because we remember what God did for us. And that value should not be degraded in our heart and mind. Why? Because without Christ, we'll still be strangers in God's household. Without Christ, we'll still be subject to God's wrath. And without Christ, we'll still be wearing our destiny tag. We are condemned people. Why condemn? Because the only thing waiting for us without Christ is hell, is eternal hell. And at the end of time, life becomes useless, no meaning. Why? Because we wake up 6 o'clock. We rush getting to work, going to school, doing all sorts of things. And sometimes we go to bed very late. Why? Simply because we want to make it. You can amass all the wealth in this world. But one day, we are going to leave all of them behind. And somebody is going to enjoy. So you ask yourself, what about all the time you spent on this issue? With the traveling, moving here and there, sitting in meetings, at all hours you thought you could, you did all these things. Why? So that you enjoy life. But a time is coming that a cup of water will be given to you. You not have any pleasure of drinking it. A time is coming that your favorite dish will be prepared and placed before you. The aroma of it all will scare you away. But before then, you love it. You like it. That is how God has made it. We all need to die one day. That is how God has made it. Irrespective of who you are, we have to go through. We have to follow that track. And having toil for all these things, if we are going to leave them and then go and suffer, why don't we rethink? So without Christ, our toil, our moving here and there is going to be nothing. There wouldn't be any meaning to life that we say we are enjoying on earth. But with Christ, what happens? We become members of God's household. We are called children of God. The Bible says we are royal priesthood because we are chosen people. Each and everyone has been called to reconcile the world back to the Father. And through us, holy sacrifices are made because we serve the Lord with our hearts. As the Bible says, we should, with our body, we should present our body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Here, we don't need any intermediary. God has called us, and we all act as priests in the presence of God. That is why you can offer prayers in your room. That is why when we come here, the pastor tells us, let's pray. Because in the earlier days, it was only the priest who could go in to pray. But what has Christ done? He's paved the way. Now we can enter freely. And now we have living hope because of our changed status. We used to be condemned people, but now we rejoice when we see the future because we know that our future, our end is certain. We know where we are going because Christ said, in my Father's house, there are so many mansions. If there was nothing like that, I wouldn't have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I finish, I'll come and take you all to where I am. We have that living hope. We know that our life does not only rest in this world. That is why, as a Christian, you have to share what you have. Because, you know, the more you share, the more you stack them in heaven. The more you keep, the more you deplete what you have up there. That is why our brother came here. He said, there's a project in the Philippines. We need people to go there. Somebody will say, I want to go. Why? Simply because he knows what he's doing. It's not just for here, but serving the Heavenly Father. So it is important. Why? Because we have a living hope. And then finally, we have free access into the throne room of grace. Previously, it used to be the temple in Jerusalem. For the Samaritans, it used to be on the hills. But with the advent of Christ, Christ has become the global sanctuary where we meet God. In Christ, we meet God. Because the Bible says, the glory, the power, the might, and everything of God was fully represented in Christ. In Christ, we have the hope. In Christ, we reach out to God. So what did Jesus Christ say? He said, if you will ask in my name, I will give you all things. And Christ also said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. He did not say, when I'm lifted up, I'm going to separate you, give share you among people, so that people will be, because if Christ had done that, people would have suffered. Because even within this period, if you go to my country, Ghana, I always use Ghana because, you know, that is the policy, right? Good. If you go to Ghana, we have these so-called men of God. And my brethren from Ghana will bear witness to this. We have them exploiting people. I don't know if you've seen such or such videos on the YouTube and so on and so forth. There are a whole lot of them. And pastors having exploited the congregation could buy those Rolls Royce. In Ghana, people use Rolls Royce. Heavy, heavy cars. They spend money on luxury whilst their church members, even one meal, not square meal, for three times a day. No, you're talking about one. They can't afford. But you know, people's mind and hearts have been hypnotized in such a way that whatever thing the man of God says, they have to bring it. Meanwhile, they will finish. After church service, they will walk, cover a whole distance back home with that money to take a lorry or car or anything. He walk. But when the pastor, the so-called man, finishes, he goes into his Porsche car. Boom, boom, boom. He drives away. And people are suffering. So if Christ had left us into the hands of men, we would have been dead by now. So let's rejoice. When we hear Christmas, rejoice. You are not rejoicing because of the events around. You are not rejoicing because of the date they said it does not coincide. You are not rejoicing because of the learned what you are thinking. We are rejoicing because the Son of God was born. Was born back in those days. And you know, Jesus Christ is so much important that in his advent, the world calendar was split into two. Do you know that? We have the B.C. and then A.D. When Christ was born, the calendar was split into two. It implies he means so much to you and I. Let's rejoice. Let's forget about those, you know, denominational influences. Those who want to think about them, let them think about it. But we as laymen, all that we know is that Christ had been born for us, and through his blood, we've been saved for God. Now we have free access to the Father. I want you to rejoice with me because I am happy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for what you've done for us. We thank you that we can confidently come before you, and it all began on the day that the Son of God was born. It all began the day you squeezed yourself into the world you've created. We are so grateful. And we thank you that you are not ashamed to call us brethren, because you want to become one of us so that you redeem us. And through that, we all have access to the Father. Help us, help our mind, help our inner being. Whatever influences that we have that is clouding the importance of the birth of Christ, we pray that you enlighten us more so that we get to know you more. Strengthen our faith in you so that we may grow to draw closer. We thank you for your love for us. We bless you in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Stephen. Recently, in all honesty, every sermon